continue in worship, we have the opportunity to read upon the scriptures. We'll be reading from the Gospel of Mark, the 14th chapter, verses 3 through 9. It says, while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. Some were there who said to one another in anger, why was this ointment wasted this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor. And they scolded her. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed good service for me, for you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this time together in worship, that we might hear a word from you, that we might sing praise to you and reflect on how good you are in our life and how you walk with us each and every day. God, I ask that you speak through me and inspire me this day that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear with joy what you say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So throughout this next 40 days of Lent, we'll be looking at a series, a series called The Unlikely Lent by author Rachel Billups. It's similar to the series that we did throughout the season of Advent, in which the author looks at unlikely people in these stories. It was the birth story, and now it's the Jesus' death and resurrection story. People who maybe aren't normally in the spotlight. During the season, there'll be opportunities to hear during this time of Sunday worship a little bit about it. And then if you want to join for a small group time on Tuesday evenings, we'll also have time to reflect more on these different stories and share a meal together as well. Thinking like soup and salad, something pretty easy. Invite you to join with us for a time Tuesday evenings, 5:30 to 7. Food, I mean, if we're going to join together for any kind of study, food, we need food. Food really brings people together. It's a sign of love and compassion towards others. We respond by food, especially in moments in which there's a challenge or transition happening. We want to help. Food is a natural thing. People need to eat, and so if we can make someone's life easier by preparing or providing food, we do that. In the book, Billup said, food is a tangible sign of love, declaring, I see you, I love you, and I'm here to help. I see you, I love you, and I'm here to help. In this first week of Lent, the story that I just read happens around a dinner table, in which Mary of Bethany here comes and is there and breaks open this alabaster jar of ointment, perfume, and anoints Jesus' head. You know, all four of the gospel readings, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, have a story in which a woman anoints Jesus' head with costly jar of perfume. Matthew and Mark place the story in the house of Simon the leper. The woman anoints Jesus as unnamed. And in Matthew and Mark, we also read the woman anoints Jesus' head as a prophetic act of anointing him as king and Messiah in the empire of Caesar. In the Gospel of John, we read how Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead. And even though many were excited about that, Jesus knew he was in trouble. And John places the story in the home of three beloved friends as Jesus stops in with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. a place that Jesus has probably joined for a meal many times. As per usual, Martha probably prepared a delicious meal and the conversation was uplifting. It was a great evening, but in this case, Jesus knew what was taking place. He was on his final route to Jerusalem where he knew his story would end in tragedy, and there was some tension there as well. Tension like when someone brings up politics or religion at the Thanksgiving dinner table, there was some tension there, like, ooh. We've learned that Mary and Martha were different. They had different gifts, different blessings. You see, because earlier Mary is the one who sits at the feet of Jesus and listens while others work and are busy doing things. Mary gets it. Unlike the disciples, she knows what lies in store for Jesus, that he's going to die, and she could comprehend and accept what maybe the others could not yet see. In this scene, as they dined at the table, Mary breaks open this perfume, this ointment, this of nard, begins to anoint Jesus. She had brought this gift with an intention to share it. And this gift was a prophetic act signaling Jesus' upcoming death. Suddenly, what was so far off was now. Jesus knew, Mary knew and is telling others what she knew. And in her silence and in her act, she draws attention not to herself, but the one who she anoints. Mary used perfume to express her thanks to Jesus for the restored life of Lazarus, for raising him from the dead, and for the friendship of Jesus. And she wanted Jesus to experience comfort, to resume his journey toward, as he resumed his journey toward Golgotha. In that moment, she was drawing out and replacing the tension and trying to with the fragrant smell of angel's breath. She gave all she had in an unlikely offering by an unlikely person. In Mark, it says that there were some that were angry. In other places, we hear that Judas objects from this action, as he points out that, well, why would Mary do this? This is 300 days of salary. This is like a whole year's salary cracked open and wasted on Jesus. Can you imagine what good we could have done for the poor? What was Mary thinking? But Jesus could see through Judas and the other disciples. Jesus was not having it that day. Jesus does not take issue with the temporary gift, nature of the gift. He declares it was appropriate in the moment, particularly in light of the impending death. He's gracious enough to receive it with gratitude, and he protected her and even praised her offering. He responded, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? For you always have the poor with you. You can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you do not always have me." His words were a quotation from Deuteronomy 15, chapter 15, verse 11, where it says, "For the poor will never cease out of the land. Therefore, I command you, you shall open wide your hand to the needy and to the poor in the land." In the scene, Mary breaks barriers. Jesus breaks barriers. Barriers in the society that shock people as she ministers to Jesus and as Jesus ministers to her. There are social, cultural, religious taboos that separate them. But Jesus reaches across all barriers to touch her life and our life. And sometimes we're called to take risks, as Mary did in this case, to bring the gospel to those on the margins, to those who are suffering, to those who are lost. Throughout the scriptures, we see Jesus defend and love those others were trying to dismiss. Especially different women throughout the scripture, such as the Samaritan woman at the well, such as the woman who they brought to Jesus who had committed adultery, and now this woman who blesses Jesus with the perfume. Jesus stands up for those who others are dismissing. Jesus continues to do that today. Now, I know there are many folks who would agree with Judas, and for what Judas said had an element of practical truth. And please know that Jesus had a deep passion for caring for the vulnerable. He wasn't saying, don't help the poor. As we're called to care for the foreigner, the widow, the orphan among us, and to open our hand to the poor and the needy. But maybe in this case, Jesus knew that Judas or others could have just been portraying some kind of false piety. Jesus will always be there, supporting, walking with, caring for the vulnerable, the foreigner, the widow, the orphan, the poor, the needy. The call of generosity will lead us to reflect on the life of Jesus, who shows us what it means to completely give of oneself. Throughout the gospel, Jesus provides a blessed abundance. We see this in stories about the wedding, Cana of Galilee, and the water turned into wine. And we see it in the story of the fishes and loaves. And we see it as Jesus says to his disciples to fish on the other side of the boat, and they catch so much fish that they couldn't even pull it in. We see abundance wherever Jesus is present. In the book, Billup says, in a world where scarcity seems to be the name of the game, abundance feels like a healing balm. Perhaps that was Jesus' point here, that this unlikely offering by Mary of Bethany was an over-the-top demonstration of God's grace being poured out on all of creation. When we love, it calls us to empty ourselves by giving of over-the-top generosity, of giving costly things such as talents and time and gifts. Love calls us to respond in unlikely ways that go beyond what we thought we were capable of doing, beyond ourselves. And Jesus calls us to offer God's love to others with over-the-top generosity. Maybe Mary understands the sacrifice that's about to take place. Mary understands what others did not. Mary, this unlikely character, making an unlikely gift. Her anointing carried with it the scent of brokenness and death, but it also carried with it a scent of the king coming in to his kingdom. She seemed to see what other disciples in the story maybe didn't see, because she listened. She was there, fully present, aware, and engaged in the deep mystery of Christ's presence. This is her final gift to the Lord. She wasn't saving the good stuff. She offered it to Jesus that day. How's God moving you to empty yourself so that you might transform the world with the saving grace of Jesus Christ? What is your unlikely offering? Maybe it's been making pillowcases for the children at the children's hospital. Maybe it's teaching a study. Maybe it's singing in the choir. Maybe it's cooking a meal or writing a card. These unlikely ways that Jesus works through us to show his over-the-top generosity to the world. Like Mary of Bethany, your gift doesn't have to be perfect, but instead, it just has to come from a willing heart to serve God and serve your friends and your neighbors here and beyond. What is your unlikely gift? How are you being called to share it? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this time together. We thank you for the ways in which you continue to be at work in our life, how you walk with us, how you show up when we need you to time and again, and provide your presence so that we might feel your love in our life. God, we thank you for all the many different ways in which you bless us with your abundance and through talents and gifts and resources, how each of us has just something to share and a different gift, an unlikely one maybe. But God, how you can use that unlikely gift when we offer it in your love to transform the world and the lives of those around us. May we respond with generosity. We love you and we thank you. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.